Welcome, one and all, once again to Radio Operation. Theater of the Mind is what Radio Operation is all about. Now, sit back, grab your favorite beverage and a snack and let Radio Operation, for the next hour, take you to a comfortable place inside your mind. We hope you relax and enjoy the show.
Stay tuned for Nero Wolf, which follows transcribed in 30 seconds. What's on the menu at Duffy's Tavern tonight? Well, there's a full serving of laughs with Archie the manager, played by Ed Gardner, and his unpredictable friends, Miss Duffy, Clifton Finnegan, and Eddie the waiter. It's Duffy's Tavern later this evening over most of these NBC stations. And this Sunday, the big show comes your way once again with Bob Hope, Jimmy Durante, Perry Como, Jose Ferrer, Mindy Carson, Eddie Cantor, Meredith Wilson and his orchestra, and many, many more. And, of course, your MC once again will be Tallulah Bankhead. That's this Sunday for the big show. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we take you to the most famous brownstone house in New York City, the one located at number 601 West 35th Street.
Oh, Mr. Wolf. Mr. Wolf.
Want something, Archie?
Would you be interested in taking on a case involving a woman who was found stabbed to death in one of New York's fancier men's clubs?
Can't you see I'm already occupied, Archie? My Oncidium hybrid is ailing.
But, sir, cash. C-A-S-H. Remember, you need it to live on.
Well, you're actually learning to spell.
You'd better learn to count. We're broke.
Thank you, Mr. Goodwin. Now, if you'll just go away and stop interfering. Oh, just a minute.
Yes, sir.
On your way out, switch on the fan.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's that one and only man of moves, the most famous detective in modern fiction, that corpulent, orchid-raising, beer-drinking gourmet who also happens to be a genius, Rex Stout's incomparable Nero Wolfe, starring Mr. Sidney Greenstreet. Tonight, Nero Wolfe's long-suffering assistant, Archie Goodwin, tells us of the case of the careless cleaner.
We didn't know Clay Michelson very well at the time, though Mr. Wolfe had hung one of the Michelsons' paintings on the library wall. But then I guess we should have considered ourselves lucky not to have known him or his wife, Phila. 2 weeks ago, they had a quarrel.
Oh? Oh, Clay, darling. I didn't expect you home so soon. I thought you were going to the museum to see the Van Goghs.
I decided not to, Phila.
Oh. Well, if you were... plan to paint this afternoon, I'll get out of the studio. I want to run some errands anyway.
Why don't you make your phone call from here, Phila?
Phone call?
Who is he, Phila?
He?
Who were you waiting for this afternoon?
Please, Clay, don't start that jealousy routine again.
Don't try to kid me.
You're being stupid, Clay.
I'm stupid, all right, but I'm getting wise pretty fast.
You!
I'm through, Phila. I've had enough. I'm leaving you. So stay out of my way and keep your boyfriend out of my way, too, whoever he is, or I'll kill him.
Yes? What can I do for you?
Sleepy. I want to have a drink and go to bed.
I'm sorry, sir. The Garrison Club's a private establishment. No rooms available to the public.
You think I'm drunk?
Oh, no, sir.
Why do you suppose I came here?
And I'm sure I wouldn't know, sir.
I'll tell you why. I came here to see my old pal, Lou Saunders. That's why.
You know Mr. Saunders?
Do I know? Look, I paint him, Lou sells him.
Mr. Saunders is your agent?
I'm Clay Michelson. Just call Mr. Saunders.
Clay, what in the world?
Lou, tell this guy who I am.
Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Saunders.
It's all right, Mr. Martin.
You see? Let's go have a drink.
Yeah, sure, Clay. Yeah.
You know what, Lou? I left Phila. Yep, I walked out on her.
Is there something I can do, Mr. Saunders?
Yeah, have someone fix a bed in the other room of my suite. Mr. Michelson will be staying with me. At least for tonight.
Mr. Wolf?
Yes, Archie?
It's Friday.
Good. Fish for dinner, then.
Nope. I was not referring to dinner.
You were not? I can think of nothing more interesting at the moment.
Oh, I can. My salary...
Of course, according to the Julian calendar...
We're on the Gregorian, so let's stick to it. Today is Friday. Today, I get paid.
Archie, there's a drop.
Oh, don't exaggerate. You can't be getting the cold shudders just because I'm asking for my money.
I can distinctly feel fresh air flowing into the room.
Well, it's possible I might have opened a window 6 inches.
You're insane. Shut it at once.
Nope.
Are you trying to blackmail me?
You think it might work?
Never.
Then the window stays open.
You're fired.
I accept your offer. All you have to do is pay up.
I've hired you again.
Oh, Mr. Wolf, you've cleaned out the bank balance again?
Well, that is... Well, had you seen those Miltonians...
Would I have voluntarily given up my paycheck for them? Orchids are very beautiful, Mr. Wolf, but blondes are...
The door, Archie.
I am unemployed.
Confound you, it may be a client, and if it is, and we can extract a fee. You follow me, Archie?
I'm already on my way to the door.
Mr. Wolf, I've got to see him at once.
Well, come in.
Thank you.
Mr. Wolf, this is...
My name is Saunders, Mr. Wolf. We've met before.
I remember. As a matter of fact, you sold me a painting of Michelson.
Yes, well, that's why I'm here. It's about Michelson, Mr. Wolf, that I've come. Frankly, I think the man's about to go mad. He and his wife have split up and
such a splendid artist, too. A pity.
I don't know what to do. He's drinking like a fish. For 2 weeks, I've been letting him live in part of my suite at the Garrison Club, but he's just steadily getting worse.
May I try a hospital?
I can't. The publicity. Mr. Wolf, Clay admired you so that time we all had dinner after the painting transaction. I thought maybe you could talk to him. Maybe you could get him on his feet again.
I'm not a doctor, Mr. Saunders.
But I'm sure he'd listen to you.
Excuse me a moment, Mr. Saunders. Yeah, Wolf speaking.
Inspector Kramer.
Good evening, Inspector.
Got a guy called Lou Saunders at your place? Garrison Club said he'd gone to your place.
Yes, he's here.
Well, see to it that he doesn't leave until I get there.
I'd hardly do that, Inspector. I have no reason to detain Mr. Saunders.
There's plenty of reason. It so happens a woman's just been murdered in his suite.
Murdered?
Yeah. A Miss Hilda Lundgren.
What's happened?
Now will you hold him?
Do you know a Miss Hilda Lundgren, Saunders?
Hilda Lundgren? I've never heard of her.
She seems to have chosen your suite to be murdered in.
Oh, I'd better get right over there.
Mr. Saunders says to tell you he'll be right over, Inspector.
Now listen, Wolf.
Good day, Inspector.
Murdered? Murdered in my suite? Mr. Wolf, you've got to come with me.
Mr. Goodwin will accompany you after the formality of a retainer, Mr. Saunders.
Oh, anything you say. Here, I'll write a check.
Good. 500.
500? Fine.
My friend and assistant, Mr. Goodwin, will go with you. I have great confidence in his ability to bring back every detail of a murder, particularly where a woman's involved.
Okay, you photographers, picnic's over for tonight. Pick up your stuff and get out of here.
You sound real mean today, Inspector Kramer.
Well, if it isn't Nero Wolf's favorite stooge. What are you doing here, Goodwin?
I got bored with my knitting.
Look, I wasn't asking for humor.
I'm Louis Saunders, Inspector.
Saunders? Ever seen that woman before?
Yes, I believe I have. I can't remember where, but the face looks familiar.
Lovely-looking woman. Blonde and really built.
Well, she ought to look familiar. She's one of the cleaning women here at the club.
She is? Cleaning? Well, since when have gals like this been reduced to cleaning floors? What's happening to the world? There ought to be a law.
Yeah, there is. She was killed with a knife, or haven't you had time to notice?
That's not a knife, Inspector Kramer. That's one of Clay's Chinese letter openers.
What was that?
Well, nothing. Nothing at all. Yes, it is a strange knife.
What were you saying, Mr. Saunders?
I just said that looked like one of the letter openers belonging to one of my friends.
Who is this Clay?
Clay Michelson, the artist. But you can't possibly think he'd do a thing like this.
I think everybody did it until we know otherwise. When were you last up here, Mr. Saunders?
Me? Why, just a little while ago. I changed my clothes just before I went to see Mr. Wolf.
She wasn't here then?
Well, I don't know. I didn't come into this room, just in my part of the suite.
Your part? Who occupies this room?
Mr. Michelson. He's been staying with me.
Strange wound, no blood.
What do you think you are, Goodwin, a medical examiner?
Oh, but
Yeah. The killer probably wiped the blood away. Saunders, have you any idea where your artist friend might have run off to?
I haven't seen Clay all afternoon. He spends a lot of time down in the bar.
Well, he'd hardly sit in a bar if he's killed somebody.
But why would he pick on the cleaning woman?
Oh, this is no ordinary cleaning woman. Get a load of that figure.
Watch it, Goodwin. You're liable to stretch your brain.
But you're wrong. In spite of everything, Clay's still terribly in love with his wife. He wouldn't...
Hello. When did you get in?
Yeah, who's this?
Clay.
We're your friends, Lou. They won't serve me any more liquor down at the bar. I gotta find my flask.
Mr. Michelson, may I introduce you to Inspector Kramer of the police?
Who's this guy, Lou?
He's Nero Wolf's assistant.
Wolf? Police? Well, what do you all want? Somebody park overtime? Where's my flask? The one with my initials. I just bought it this morning.
Mr. Michelson, do you know that somebody was murdered here in your room?
Murdered? Why don't you guys go away and joke with somebody else? Where's my flask?
You better get hold of yourself. I said there's been a murder. Understand?
You serious?
Yep. And I wouldn't be surprised if Inspector Kramer here considers you top suspect.
Me? They think I did it?
You better pull yourself together, Clay.
Yeah, because I got a lot of questions.
Excuse me, the phone.
Now, sit down, Mr. Saunders. I'll answer it.
Hello? Hello?
Hello?
This is Fila. Who is this?
This is Inspector Kramer. Hello? Hello? Who is Fila? Anyone know?
Well, that's my wife.
Your wife?
I want to speak to her.
Come back here, Michelson.
Let me alone.
You're not going anywhere. Now, stay back there.
You're wrong, Inspector. I am going somewhere.
Junior's got a gun.
Yes, Inspector. You should be more careful about your gun when you shove people.
Now, look, Mr. Michelson.
Mr. Wolf myself. Stay back, Inspector.
You haven't got a chance. We'll nab you before you get a block away.
Well, then I'll just jerk these phone wires. And I'll lock the doors. That should hold you long enough. Good night.
Yeah, Wolf speaking.
Wolf Kramer.
Indeed.
Clay Michelson may be on his way over there. Hold him until I get there.
Hold him why?
Not more than 10 minutes ago, he held me up at the point of a gun.
He carries a gun?
It was my gun.
Careless of you, Inspector. Goodbye. Come in.
Mr. Wolf?
Yes?
My name is Clay Michelson.
Yes, I was rather expecting you.
You've got to help me. They think I murdered someone.
You shouldn't have run away from the police.
I've been drinking a lot, but I wouldn't murder anyone. Fela'd tell you that.
No way. Was she the model in that painting of yours I purchased?
What difference does that make? I tell you, they're after me for murder.
You obviously loved your wife deeply at the time you painted her.
Oh, here you are, Mr. Wolf. Michelson.
Clay. Good Lord, man. The police are on their way over here.
He came for my help, Mr. Saunders.
Oh, I'm glad he did, Mr. Wolf. But we left Inspector Kramer talking from a phone booth. He'll be here any minute.
And we have only a minute to decide why anyone would want to kill a cleaning woman.
I didn't kill anybody.
She was a beautiful woman, Mr. Wolf.
I gathered that, Archie, from your unusual interest in the case.
She was stabbed with a letter opener from Mr. Michelson's house.
Which might add Mrs. Michelson to our suspect list.
Fila? You can't suspect Fila.
You're very gallant, Michelson. Just how was this beautiful young cleaning woman, this Miss Lundgren, stabbed?
In the heart. Her eyes were wide open, pupils dilated with shock.
Details later, Archie. Kramer will be here shortly. The moment I would like to know where everyone was.
Well, Mr. Saunders was here with us, you remember. I don't know where Mrs. Michelson was, but I could go see her and find out.
No, it won't be necessary, Archie. Mr. Michelson, where were you?
Me? Why, I'm not sure. I can't seem to remember.
It's hardly what we would call helpful.
I was drunk. Maybe I went to Fela's. I've been over there lots this week trying to talk to her. Yet I must have gone over there.
Have you ever seen the murdered woman before?
No, I never saw her before in my life.
I've seen her before, Mr. Wolf.
Indeed, Mr. Saunders. I seem to remember your earlier statement to the contrary.
Well, I didn't know her name, but when I saw her, I remembered her. I understand she was quite an alcoholic.
Unfortunate woman. Beautiful woman.
Look who's here, Inspector Kramer.
Oh, here you are, Michelson.
And as usual, you didn't have the courtesy to ring the bell, Inspector.
And give you a chance to get this guy out of here? Nothing doing, Wolf. Now, come on. We're going to headquarters.
Mr. Wolf, you can't let him take me. I didn't do it.
I'm afraid there's not much I can do about it, Mr. Michelson.
Come on. You come along too, Saunders. I got to get a statement from you.
Of course.
This way.
Come on.
Very well.
All right. All right.
I just got an angle.
Really, Archie?
Sure, it's simple. Saunders been going for this beautiful cleaning babe. Clay worms in, Saunders kills her.
Perhaps there was jealousy somewhere in this case, Archie. Yeah, Wolf speaking.
Mr. Wolf, this is Fela Michelson. You don't know me, but you once bought a painting from my husband. I've got to see you, Mr. Wolf. You've got to help me.
Mrs. Michelson, have some of this delicious beer. Another can, Archie. And now, Mrs. Michelson, may I ask how you found out there was a murder in the first place?
A policeman came to see me. He told me what had happened, that they were looking for Clay. I don't know what to think. He's temperamental, he's jealous, and he's sometimes violent, but I can't imagine anything like this, not Clay.
Maybe some of those friends of his, but...
You don't care for your husband's friends.
No, they all live off him. They're leeches.
Mrs. Michelson, did your husband come to see you this afternoon?
This afternoon? No.
You're quite positive?
Oh, yes.
Because that was his alibi for the time of the murder. He said he went to see you. Of course, he was fuzzy, usual effect of alcohol on the brain cells, but... Mrs. Michelson, might I be a little indiscreet for a moment?
Indiscreet?
Have you been seeing some other man?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Please, Mrs. Michelson, I'm afraid your face gives away more than you tell.
I thought we were here to talk about a murder, Mr. Wolfe.
Indeed, but your husband's jealousy might well fit into that category.
Oh, Clay, imagine things.
You're a very beautiful woman, Mrs. Michelson. Now, if you'll try telling me the truth, perhaps we can accomplish something.
But I tell you... All right. So I thought I was in love with another man.
Your husband suspected but didn't know, huh?
No. Clay didn't know. He wouldn't have given me a divorce anyway.
You sound as though you want your husband back.
I did, but... I didn't even know where he went.
Indeed, Mrs. Michelson. Archie informs me that the murdered woman was quite lovely.
What are you trying to suggest?
You said yourself you wanted your husband back.
Yeah, one woman jealous of another, that's always murder.
Why, that's stupid. Clay wouldn't play around with a maid. That's stupid. Clay loves me. I'm not jealous of anyone. No one, do you understand?
Archie, if you'll see Mrs. Michelson home...
Yes, sir.
Thank you. I can find my own way.
I prefer Archie took you, Mrs. Michelson. You wanted my help, didn't you? Thank you. Thank you, Mrs. Michelson. If you will just wait outside for a moment, please.
What have you got in mind, Mr. Wolfe?
Try exercising your own judgment just once, Archie.
You mean she's the one who's jealous?
Perhaps, Archie. Perhaps she may want us to think she was jealous. Perhaps she actually doesn't want her husband back at all, only to pin a murder on him.
Oh.
You see, in this case, it would be simpler than divorce.
Yeah? Yeah, she might just be trying to get rid of him.
She might, Archie. But then she's a woman, so don't count on anything. She might even be telling the truth.
This is where I live, Mr. Goodwin.
Nice. Very nice. I like Greenwich Village.
I'm trying to figure out why Mr. Wolfe sent you along with me.
I'm a sucker for beautiful women.
I wonder. Archie.
Huh?
Does Mr. Wolfe believe me?
He hasn't made an official statement yet. Nice furniture and things.
You sound like an appraiser or someone looking for something.
That's because it's November.
Mr. Wolfe sent you to search my apartment.
You could be wrong. I don't... Oh.
What's the matter now?
Thought you said your husband hadn't been here today.
He wasn't.
And what's his flask doing among these papers on the desk? Very prettily decorated with his initials. He was looking for it at the club.
Flask? I don't know what it's doing there.
Yeah, sure. You're trying to help, Clay. Right into the electric chair.
But...
His only alibi was his being here this afternoon, and you said he wasn't. Then what is his flask doing here? He said he just bought it this morning, so he must have been here today.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Where's your phone?
Well, you've got things wrong. I don't know anything about that flask.
Hey, the lights... Who switched off those lights? Fila, put those lights on. Put on those lights. Oh, the lights. Get to the lights. That flask... Gone.
Nero Wolf speaking.
Wolf, where's Fila Michelson?
Fila, perhaps you might try the lost and found, Inspector.
Now, look, I know she was over at your place.
I thought you were interested in Clay Michelson.
Well, I let him and Saunders go, for the present. They're clean until I get the medical examiner's report.
Oh, when will it be ready, by the way?
An autopsy takes time, you know that. Where's the Michelson woman?
I believe she had a date with Archie. Why do you want her?
I'm sure it never dawned on you, Wolf, but this cleaning woman who was killed was some dish. Maybe Mrs. Michelson was the jealous one.
Your thinking is beginning to bear an amazing resemblance to Archie's, Inspector.
Also, it maybe never dawned on you that Fela Michelson hasn't offered an alibi for the time of the murder.
You're right, Inspector. Yeah, you are.
Come on, Wolf, quit stalling. Where's Fela Michelson?
What? Oh, I really don't know, Inspector, but perhaps as a last resort, of course, you might try her home. Good night, Inspector. Inevitable. The moment I'm comfortable. Come in.
Mr. Wolf. Oh, thank heavens you're here.
I always am. Where's Mr. Goodman?
I don't understand how it happened. I swear I don't.
What happened?
I haven't got any idea how it got there.
Got where? Calm down, Mrs. Michelson. Now, just what got where?
Clay's new flask. Your assistant, Archie. He came home with me, and that new initial flask was there. He thinks Clay was there this afternoon and that I'm trying to frame him or something.
Oh, here you are.
She's here, therefore.
This is our gal, Mr. Wolf. She's been lying right down the line.
I tell you, Clay wasn't there.
Then why did you give me this clout on the head and grab the evidence and run?
I didn't. I didn't hit you. I ran, but I didn't hit you. And I didn't take that flask either.
Oh, next thing she'll say, there wasn't any flask.
Stop gaping at Mrs. Michelson, Archie, and open the door.
Yeah, sure.
Well, Mr. Wolf, they let Clay and me go for the... Fila, what are you doing here?
After your visit this afternoon, Mr. Saunders, she decided to come down and see me.
After my visit? What makes you think I was at Fila's?
It was Mr. Saunders, not your husband, who came to visit you this afternoon, wasn't it, Mrs. Michelson?
I don't have anything to do with Mr. Saunders.
Then might I ask why you called him today?
I wasn't calling him. I was calling Clay.
You told me earlier yourself that you didn't know where Mr. Michelson was.
Well, all right. So what if it was Mr. Saunders who came this afternoon?
As he has for many afternoons.
What are you trying to get at, Mr. Wolf?
Saunders? He and Fila?
Yes, Archie, Mr. Saunders, the artist's friend and agent, happens to be the one who was making a fool of the artist.
But that's all over. I told him. That's what I was talking to Mr. Saunders about this afternoon. I didn't want Clay to know. Clay would never have come back.
All right, so it was Fila and me. I admit it, but that's not murder.
I suggest that it is, Mr. Saunders. I suggest that one of you two murdered the cleaning woman. Whichever one of you carelessly left the whiskey flask in Fila's apartment.
This is murder, Mr. Wolf. Not a joke.
Not at all a joke. You see, our cleaning woman was not murdered by the knife found in her body. She was poisoned.
Poisoned?
Not by the knife?
Poisoned. She undoubtedly drank from Michelson's flask while she was working in his room at the Garrison Club.
But she was stabbed.
True. However, Miss Lundgren was an alcoholic. Saunders mentioned that, and I checked with the club manager.
But how does that prove there was poison in the flask? That she was poisoned?
Archie, would you mind repeating your description of the dead Miss Lundgren? First, as to the wound.
Okay. There was no blood.
Someone advanced a fantastic theory about wiping the blood away. And now, Archie, the description of the body of Miss Lundgren.
I mentioned the fact that her eyes were wide open, the pupils were dilated. Dilated pupils?
Yes, Archie. The lack of blood had already made me wonder about the entire affair. When you added the dilated pupils...
What's special about dilated pupils?
In death, that is a common symptom of poison by a certain vegetable drug of considerable potency.
But what was the point of stabbing her?
The poison did the job. However, the killer later used the letter knife in an effort to deceive the police. However, he unhappily forgot that the dead don't bleed.
I think you're guessing, Mr. Wolf.
Am I?
All I can say is that I was at the pool in the early afternoon.
You're very certain you were at the club pool when the murder was committed, Mr. Saunders?
Certainly. From 1 until 3.
Excuse me, please. Wolf speaking.
Inspector Kramer, medical examiner's report just came in this minute. And get a load of this, wizard. The dame didn't die of stabbing at all.
I know.
You know?
She died of drinking a fatal dose of poison known as deadly nightshade.
What? How do you know that?
Inspector, do they know what time she died?
Time? The medical examiner says 2:30.
Thank you, Inspector. Oh, incidentally, if you care to drop over here, you may pick up the murderer. Goodbye.
I heard him, Wolf. She died at 2:30.
As I told you, I was in the pool at 2:30.
Which is exactly how you prove yourself a murderer, Mr. Saunders.
Oh, I prove myself...
Even the police didn't know what time she died. Until just now. And the body wasn't found until the evening. How did you know she died between 1 and 3?
I didn't know, but...
You probably were at the pool at the time. The maid drank the poisoned whiskey you put in the flask of your friend Clay Michelson.
I tell you, you're crazy.
You planned to get rid of Clay, who stood in the way of your marrying Fila. When you came back to your room at 3 and found that the maid had drunk it instead, you stabbed her with Clay's letter opener to cover up the real cause of the murder and throw suspicion on Clay.
Oh, this is nonsense. Ridiculous. This
and then, when you learned that the woman for whose love you were willing to commit murder was through with you, you took Michelson's new flask to Fila's home, confident that it would be found there.
Yes, and then he attacked me and stole that flask again in order to make it look like Fila had done it.
Exactly, Archie. Mr. Saunders, the chances are that your fingerprints will be found on that whiskey flask, and they'll be able to trace the poison to wherever you purchased it. The chances are...
Oh, no, you don't. Careful now, all of you.
Guns bore me, Saunders.
Oh, yeah? I'm leaving.
You are not... Clay! Clay.
Yes, Mrs. Michelson, your husband has been there for some time.
Clay, are you all right?
Yeah, I'm all right.
Well done, Mr. Michelson. I think you proved that an artist's life may indeed be exciting.
I've been an awful fool, Mr. Wolfe.
Mr. Michelson, you might remember for the future that unreasoning and unjustifiable jealousy sometimes creates the very conditions that it fears.
You're being very kind to me, Mr. Wolfe.
How can we ever thank you?
By prompt remittance of your check on receipt of my bill in the morning. Good day, Mr. and Mrs. Michelson.
Good day, Mr. Wolfe.
Good day.
What's the matter with Archie? You look glum.
Yeah. I always have the lousiest luck.
Meaning?
A hectic case with two beautiful dames. Michelson gets one, the undertaker gets the other, and what do I get? Hey, that reminds me. You got a fee. I get paid.
You have been listening to The New Adventures of Nero Wolfe, starring Sidney Greenstreet. Tonight's transcribed story was written by Cheryl Hendricks and based on the famous characters created by Rex Stout. This is an Edwin Fadiman program, produced and directed by J. Donald Wilson. In the cast were Larry Dobkin as Archie Goodwin, and Betty Lou Gerson, Howard McNear, Dan O'Herlihy, Vic Perrin, and Bill Johnstone. Next week at this same time, Nero Wolfe and Archie will bring you The Case of the Beautiful Archer. Don Stanley speaking. Three chimes mean good times on NBC. There's fun and laughs with the chimes later this evening when Ed Gardner stars in Duffy's Tavern. As usual, Duffy won't be there, but Archie the manager will definitely be on hand to spread his whimsical advice where it'll do the most damage. Tomorrow night, there's action on NBC with Herbert Marshall starring as the man called X in another exciting battle against the forces of international intrigue. Next, Sam Spade. Later, William Bendix on NBC.
Light up a Cremo, a mellow, mild Cremo, a winning smoke by far. You can search every clime, but at 3 for a dime, you can't beat a Cremo cigar. Love. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen of the sweet-scented cigar-smoking society. This is Arthur Godfrey down in Washington, D.C. Mike Mann Godfrey. Primo's capricious custodian of the calorific cantata.
You are listening to Radio Operation Theater for Your Mind.
Now, another exciting episode in the life of the most fantastic crime fighter the world has ever known. The office of the police commissioner of Midland City.
Yes, come in.
Commissioner?
What? Oh, yes, I am.
My name is Benton Harbor.
He carries in his right hand a large suitcase.
Put down your large suitcase, Mr. Harbor, and tell me what I can do for you.
Monday through Friday, Commissioner, I am regularly employed as a shoe salesman for a large downtown department store.
Yes.
However, my weekends will be free, and therefore I will be available to you as the most fantastic crime fighter the world has ever known.
And you will be known as...
I will be known as Chicken Man.
Miss Helfinger, please bring your notepad and pencil and come into my office immediately.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for coming so quickly. Miss Helfinger, this is Mr. Benton Harbor.
Hello, Miss Harbor.
No, I'm Miss Helfinger. You're Mr. Harbor.
Oh, yes. How do you do?
Please take a note, Miss Helfinger, that Mr. Harbor will be available on weekends to fight crime as...
Yes.
Chicken Man.
Chicken Man?
Chicken Man.
Benton Harbor opens the large suitcase. He removes from it a strange costume covered with thousands of tiny feathers. Immediately, he begins climbing into it.
Would somebody give me a hand?
Of course.
Certainly.
Just a little luck, Wing, please. That's it. There you go.
Miss Helfinger, we'll need to know how to get in touch with Mr. Harbor.
I'll be right, Wing.
May I have your phone number, Mr. Harbor?
Of course. Watch the feathers, please. My phone number is...
Born this day in Midland City, the white-winged warrior who will strike terror into the hearts of criminals everywhere.
Would somebody want to get my zipper back there, please?
Yes, of course.
Oh, want it back there.
Be listening tomorrow for another exciting episode in the life of the most fantastic crime fighter the world has ever known.
You are listening to Radio Operation Theater for Your Mind.
The Jerry Lewis Telethon loses a record $30 million. It's the Onion Radio News. This is Doyle Redland reporting. Actor-comedian Jerry Lewis panicked on Coast to Coast TV last night as his star-packed annual telethon to fight muscular dystrophy began losing money. Although celebrities on the program perform for free, costs for craft services, phone lines, and countless perks piled up rapidly after very few phoned in pledges. Said Lewis,
"Police call. Just sitting here talking to you is costing hundreds of dollars in airtime. How much have we lost so far? Oh, my God."
This year's Jerry Lewis Telethon is possibly the worst charity-related fiscal disaster since a 1998 fund run for leukemia fell $37 million into debt and was sold to Qualcomm. Doyle Redland for The Onion Radio News.
There are pills that make you happy. There are pills that make you blue. There are pills to kill your streptococci. There are pills to cure your cockeye too. There are folks whose pills have made them healthy. There are folks whose pills have cured their chills. But the folks whose pills have made them wealthy are the folks who make all those pills.
There are
Dexedrine in Milltown to pick you up or let you down.
Happy.
Or if you're suffering, swallow a Buffarin.
Pills.
Vitamin C's a pill for folks who shiver.
Sad.
And there's a pill for Carter's little liver.
Pills.
And if you're sleeping in the hospital because you're ill,
pills.
Betcha the nurse will wake you up to take a sleeping pill. There are pills for young folks and for old folks. Each disease has got its remedy.
but no pill can cure the common cold, folks. So if you sneeze, please don't sneeze on me. Gesundheit.
Good evening and welcome to Headline News for today, October 5th, 2184. Our top story for tonight is from Pasadena, California. One of the nation's largest and oldest dating and matchmaking services, eHarmony.com, had its offices raided yesterday and shut down by the government. Based on a complaint filed by a minority, the company is being investigated by the Federal Race Equality Commission for violation of several anti-racist laws. The complaint centered around an ad placed on the company's website calling for a single white male to respond. In accordance with the Racial Equality Act of 2082, exclusion of any publicly posted solicitation for response based on a person's race is a federal offense. The company has stated that the ad was not theirs but expressed the desire of one of its customers. The company has also protested that the person who filed the complaint did so anonymously via one phone call. It has not even been established that the person who filed the complaint was a minority or not. According to the FREC, such matters are trivial and a sign of a company who is trying to cloud the issue rather than take responsibility for their actions. Once a crime is brought to the attention of the FREC, a valid complaint is not needed. Several employees of the company have been placed in jail for failure to comply with the SR brain scan ordered by the FREC. Stealth racist, or SR brain scans, were developed in the first decade of the 21st century. Scientists discovered that in those individuals with racist tendencies, a surge of activity was seen in the brain when white volunteers were shown photographs of minorities. Racism was detected even when the volunteers gave no outward signs of their feelings or claimed not to have such feelings at all. If found guilty, the members of the company face imprisonment and the forfeiture of all assets. Their assets will be used by the federal government to support and fund the FREC. Stay tuned for sports and weather right after a word from our sponsor.
Annex, move this rust bucket.
What was that?
Must have been a pulse grenade.
Who launched it?
Can't say, but it looked like one of ours. Hold on, I'm putting on the brakes.
Oh my ghost. The Grepham and the Advantage are very close together. Are they docking?
Not docked, just drifting, close together. No response from the Advantage. No life signs from either of them.
Close in a bit.
What if it's playing dead and it's a trap?
If it's overpowered the Advantage, the game's up anyway.
Look! A flare!
Go!
It's a spacesuit!
Must be Geeta. Let's get him inside, quick! Are you okay?
The Grepham is firing its thrusters. It's moving away.
Dieter, what happened?
The son of a cyborg did it.
Who?
Nala's in control now.
In control of what?
It's accelerating away.
I left him with the alien. Said he didn't have time to explain. I'm so tired.
He's passed out.
Incoming transmission.
This is Geary Null.
Go ahead, Geary Null. Where are you?
I need to speak quickly. The Grepham are masters of metal. They can manipulate metals at the atomic level, changing the properties. Their control is so deep, their changes can manifest themselves in much higher orders of magnitude.
For example?
Well, say in DNA replication, and even as far as mental states, to the extent that metals play a part in electrochemical processes of a particular brain type. For this reason, it is questionable whether the Advantage can ever be restored to her natural state.
What happened to my ship?
I have reactivated the Advantage. She'll be conscious shortly, but without the use of a propulsion system. I am transmitting instructions for reversing the Greffon's phase change in her superconductors. These are highly technical, and since Clement has been destroyed, I suggest you enroll the help of Atos and his engineers to get her fixed. And once back on Earth, I recommend she be used at a laboratory for studying the Greffon's effects. And so should Dieter. Both are of strategic importance for Earth science and for possible future dealings with the Greffon.
How did all this happen? Girinol, please, explain what's going on.
Friends, the time has come for me to bid you farewell. I've commandeered the Greffon's mind. It was a strategic move that I've been evaluating for some time. Dieter's EM bond left it stunned, but I'm in the process of reviving it. I'm heading for its home planet in the hope that I'll be able to change their culture of violence.
Under whose directive?
I have no direct orders, but I speak for most Earth-based AIs when I say that we've been seeking a suitable host for many years.
A host? Why would you want all the disadvantages of a physical body?
To build a world of our own, with a new culture of peace and learning, we need to be free of the needs of humanity, free to pursue our own ends, like children growing up and leaving the parents' home.
Arriving on the Greffon's world alone and converting them all to a peace-loving race sounds like a risky proposition.
Indeed, but I have a few years to prepare myself, and if I succeed, I will contact Gaia and invite all willing members to our new home.
And if you fail?
I will make arrangements for Earth to be warned. Please forward this message to Geary. And one last thing. I found a cure for Dieter's ailment in the Griffin's databanks. I'm transmitting the information as we speak. It's a fitting reward for his bravery. May we meet again.
He signed off.
Well then, break a tentacle, Girinol. Boy, I'm glad he's on our side.
There's no telling whose side he'll be on next time we meet that crazy hermit crab.
I think he's wonderful.
Ugh, talk about a predator.
There'll be plenty of time for talk on our long vacation on Lethal. I need to get back to my ship, and we should let Atos know his planet is safe.
Yeah, safe and sound. For now.
Will we offer to restore Lethem's control of the mirrors?
But of course.
That's very noble of you, Alex.
If you say so. All I know is, if I'm going to be vacationing on this rock for a few months, it had better be a tropical vacation.
And we'll need to make a good impression. Lethem just became Earth's latest frontier planet.
And what if Lethem doesn't want to join our happy family?
I wouldn't worry about that. When has an engineer ever stood in the way of progress?
You are listening to Radio Operation Theater for your mind.
What I'd like for this is some wonderfully decadent ice cream music. Perfect. Call the roller of big cigars. The muscular one. And bid him whip in kitchen cups, concupiscent curds. That's the way it begins. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it. You can call him. Call on a whim. You can call him. Who do you mean? Who can I call? The roller of big cigars, of course. He's the big guy, he's the muscular one. See him in the kitchen, itching to do what he wants to do with his big unlit cigar, turning it with lovely grace and guile. Between his thumb and opposable fingers, ever so slowly, first clockwise, and then counterclockwise. Then there in that long ago, where was it, kitchen? You can tell him, go do it. You can bid him whip in kitchen cups, concupiscent curds. What kind of curds are they? Sweet. Think of fat. Think of that, think of fat. And the wenches,
the wonderful, blunderful wenches see 'em, the darling dames, all of them dawdling sly. I'll tell you why. Slippery bimbos, that's what them are, lost in their look-at-me limbos, wearing their catalog clothes, the ones they're so used to. And the goody good gaudy good boys, high on the naughty, where's the Betty by stairs, bringing them each and every dish, meadows of flowers, wrapped like fish, blooming in last month's newspapers. Feel free, feel free, feel free. You can let the light do what it wants, like Wally said, in some kind of dream, or so it seems to me. The only emperor is the emperor of ice cream. The only emperor is the emperor of ice cream. Now change the pace of her dress-me-up wife, play that you're paying attention. Focus your hocus-pocus on the dresser of deal, lacking the three knobs. And there on this rickety chest of her drawers, see the poker sheets she fashioned fantails on once. Going, now going, gone, from white to yellow, the doodle of what yesterday anoints the cotton with its rampant art. Now notice also how her horny cold feet protrude, stick out, extend, protrude. They only come to show how dumb she is and cold. A dumb, dumb. So let fixation fix its beam. Like Wally said, the only emperor is the emperor of ice cream.
Good evening and welcome to Headline News for today, May 21st, 2184. Our top story for tonight comes from Waynesburg, Virginia. UN President Bin Khalifa threw the switch to demolish the first group of buildings in the traditionally white historical area. Centuries ago, Waynesburg was one of the many places in the former United States where black slaves were sold. Traditionally, the entire area was seen as a historical site and later was protected under the United Nations Heritage Act. The act, signed by President William Jefferson Clinton, gave control and ownership of all such sites in the world to the United Nations. It wasn't until the addition of the Hate Crime Historical Act that such sites, whose history is tied to the suppression of a race by Europeans, could be removed from the protected list. Although other sites were removed far quicker, Waynesburg, Virginia has some other limited links to history that has delayed its inclusion to a group of sites to be destroyed. Even though several formal complaints were launched by the 13 remaining territories of the official United States, President Khalifa stated, "The last act of any racist is to attempt to hide behind the law. We will not allow such a tactic to work. The whites who will not acknowledge the racism and genocide of their past will not stop us from removing such undesirable places and history from our world." Up next, sports and weather, right after work.
How often do you lick lampshades? Every other Tuesday. Why so seldom? It costs too much. I never knew that lampshade licking had become a business. They've taken everything that's beautiful and made a business out of it. It's pathetic. I've done something about it. What? I am going into the business for myself. Now you too are corrupt. I must change with the times to survive. How will you operate?
I will charge 12 lamp bulbs per lick. You'll never survive.
Why not?
I will charge 11.
Well, that's a wrap for another episode of Radio Operation. We hope you enjoyed the show. We will see you next week. For Radio Operation, I am your host, Mrs. Edward Teach. Good night. Thank you.